Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, welcome back in. Tournament officially begins tonight, including our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. They're playing. See if they can get a win, advance on. A couple of games tonight, a couple of games tomorrow, and then all the madness officially begins on Thursday. Joining us now to talk about all of that is Brian Bennett. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at GBrianBennett. He is a contributing writer and chief bracketologist for The Athletic, and he joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Brian, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. I wanted to start. We asked this question earlier. Does somebody label you a bracketologist? Do you label yourself a bracketologist? How does that happen?
Well, you got to go to school for 4 years, and then it's another two in graduate school. It's a very intense course. Now, if somebody's going to pay me to do brackets, I'm going to call myself a bracketologist.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it. So now you had the opinion. I was reading up on some of your stuff before we had you on, and there's always controversy. You think the committee got it right this year.
Yeah, there are as few things to complain about with this bracket as any as I can remember in recent years. I think they got the teams right. That's the most important thing, is getting the right teams into the field. And I think by putting Belmont in, you know, they staved off a lot of criticism about the mid-majors. And I think, you know, for the most part, the seeding and the selection of where teams are is pretty good. You know, some people will quibble with some things like Michigan State being in the East or Kansas being potentially able to play in Kansas City. But if you look at the actual bracketing rules and principles which this committee was charged with, they followed those rules, and it's kind of hard to argue with what they did.
Yeah, I was just upset that our boys Fairleigh Dickinson has to play a play-in game, because we talked to their coach. He was amazing. He was fun. I hope they get in the tournament. The one area I really wanted to address with you, when you fill out the brackets, I do three brackets. I don't know how many you fill out, if you just do one, if you don't do any. But one of them, I have Gonzaga losing their second game to Syracuse. Now, I'm also a moron, so just school me in your thoughts on Gonzaga and how far you think the Zags can get this year.
Well, I think the committee did them no favors at all. They did give them a one seed, which was a little shaky there toward the end. But boy, this is a tough road for them. They, you know, Syracuse has done this to a lot of teams in the last couple of years, where you get in that second round matchup with them, they throw that 2-3 zone at you, and you're just not ready for it with the day to prepare. With their length, you know, they can really disrupt teams. I think Gonzaga will be a little bit more prepared for it this time. They did play Washington earlier this year, which runs a very similar kind of zone, so that we'll have that to fall back on. But that is going to be as tough a second round game as any one seed will face. And if they win that, they could potentially play Florida State, who, you know, beat them solidly last year in the Sweet 16. So those are two potentially really tough games for Gonzaga. They're going to have to be on their A game to come out of this region.
We're talking with Brian Bennett. He is a chief bracketologist for The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter, at GBrianBennett. Looking at some of these other matchups officially on Thursday and Friday, just in the first round, which ones are you most excited for?
I'm really looking forward to watching LSU-Yale. such a contrast, right? Where you've got the Will Wade situation going on at LSU, and then you've got the plucky little Ivy Leaguers who can never catch a break in life, right? But, you know, you just don't know how LSU is going to respond to that game. And, you know, I think that could be a really fun one to watch. Of course, the Marquette-Murray State game, you know, John Morant and Marcus Howard, if he's healthy, is just going to be fantastic. And, you know, and closer to home here, I think Wisconsin-Oregon could be really interesting. Not interesting in, necessarily a track meet. I mean, this could end up being like 45-43 or something like that. But I think it's going to be a really close game and a really fun one.
Well, Brian, I had seen earlier that somebody made a note that Oregon-Wisconsin's the most bet-on game in the tournament right now in Vegas, and 70% of the bets are going on Oregon to win this. We talked about it yesterday. There's just kind of a feel that everybody is super confident that this is an easy matchup for them, that they could even potentially get to a Sweet 16. What are we not thinking about or taking into account, I should say, with Wisconsin and who they've been this season?
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, I don't think Oregon could have asked for a better situation, you know, not even being in the tournament until a couple of days ago. And then, you know, getting to stay in San Jose and getting to play on Friday after winning four games in 4 days. That's Those are all really good things for them. You know, it, Wisconsin, the good thing about it for from an Oregon point of view is it's not a team that's going to score a whole lot of points. And with Oregon's defense, you know, that could turn this into a really low-scoring game, as we said. But, you know, Wisconsin's comfortable playing a game like that, and they've got a guy in Ethan Happ who, even though Kenny Wooten is a great shot blocker, if you ever watch Ethan Happ play, he has some of the best footwork you've ever seen. He's not, you know, overpowering athletically, but he just knows how to make a variety of moves and protect the ball, and he never seems to get a shot block. He's a really, really good player, and that's the one reason I'd be really scared about this game for Oregon.
Mm. And we're talking with Brian Bennett. He's a contributor writer and chief bracketologist for The Athletic, at G Brian Bennett on Twitter. Give him a follow. Who is a title dark horse of you? It feels like everybody is always focuses on, well, of course, Duke this year, but then the other number one seeds. Who's a dark horse, maybe a three seed or lower, that you're looking at that has a really good chance at making a run to a Final Four or a national championship?
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick Florida State to come out of the West. They're a four seed. They've been playing incredibly well since January, since they got their full lineup healthy. And if you ever watch them play, they've got a ton of athletes. You saw it in the ACC tournament. You know, they beat Virginia, beat them pretty solidly. They're playing really, really well right now. We saw them beat Gonzaga again last year by double digits, I believe, in the Sweet 16, and then fell to Michigan in a pretty close game. You know, they could be an exact repeat of those games this year, which is crazy, in the West. Last year was in L.A. It could be in Anaheim. So I like their matchup if they get it with Gonzaga. I'd like their matchup if they got it with Michigan or Texas Tech, which is, you know, a really good team, but not – you know, a great scoring team or super athletic in its own right. So they're kind of my dark horse at this point. Watch them lose to Vermont now in the first round, but
that's the way it goes. Yeah.
I like a lot of the teams in the West. It's unfortunate. A lot of my dark horses are in the same region because I love Buffalo. I think if Nevada gets hot, you know, they can make a run. And of course, Texas Tech, another really good team, but they all seem to be in the West. Yeah.
So what does the committee do, Brian, next year when Virginia has a great year, but they had back-to-back 16 seeds beat them as a one?
They don't do anything because it's all a regular season situation. So you can't take into account the previous years. But if I'm Virginia, maybe I try to play down to a two.
Well, how much do you trust Virginia this year?
I actually trust them quite a bit. I've got them going to my championship game right now, and I'm probably going to look like an idiot in a couple of days. But, you know, I just think they've been great all year, and they're definitely going to come into this tournament with a chip on their shoulder. And they're better offensively than they've been in probably at any time during Tony Bennett's era there. And, you know, the draw is not too bad for them in the South region. There's not a lot of teams there that I think are going to give them a ton of trouble. You know, Tennessee would be a tough matchup for anybody, but they're not very big. And I think Virginia can defend them because they don't shoot well from the three-point range. So I just got a feeling they're going to come out. They're going to be breathing fire and be really mad, something to prove. Yeah, and I think they're gonna get it done this year.
Well, we mentioned Oregon, Brian, and how a lot of people are kind of liking what Oregon is, what they have going on, being in San Jose, et cetera. You got two other Pac-12 teams in Washington against Utah State, and then Arizona State has to play their way in against St. John's. Is Oregon really the only hope for the conference, in your opinion, based on what we've seen? Or do you think maybe Washington is kind of underrated here in their first matchup? Could ASU maybe make a little noise as well?
I think Arizona State could do some things. Now, their matchups aren't bad for them. You know, they like to get out and run a little bit, and they're going to play some really high-tempo games against St. John's, first of all. And St. John's has been really up and down all year long. You know, they've got an incredible amount of talent, but very inconsistent. And then you could play Buffalo, who's a good team, but again, not real big, another team that loves to play fast. So I think that's going to play right in Arizona State's hands if they bring their A game, which – heck, we could see their F game. You know, you just never know with this team this year. They could be look great one week and terrible the next. So, but I think their matchups, you know, if they could win in the first four, they'd have a shot to do a little, you know, win a couple of games. Washington, you know, I think they're going to be in a real dogfight with Utah State, who's really good. Sam Merrill, one of the best players that people don't know about, Mountain West Player of the Year. So that's going to be a tough one. And then I hate their matchup with North Carolina. I think that's one of the worst teams Washington could have drawn because they're not very big. You know, Carolina knows how to play against zones, and I just don't see them being able to score enough points to beat Carolina.
Well, and Duke, Zion, the madness around that, people saying TV execs are rooting harder for Duke to get the title game than any team they have in 20-some years. How are you feeling about the Dukies? I have them, not that you care, because, you know, it's my bracket, not yours, but I have them losing to Michigan State. Do you have them in your Final Four? How do you feel about Duke's chances to win this whole thing with freshmen?
Yeah, I'm going to pick them to win it all just because I think they're the best team. I think of all the teams, if you look at who do you trust to win six games, I trust them more than anything, even though they can have a really bad shooting night. We've seen that before. But they've had really bad shooting nights and still won. And Zion is just so good. I don't know who's going to stop him. But you mentioned the Michigan State. Now, I think that, you know, people complain. A lot of Michigan State fans complain to me about their seed. But if I'm Duke, I would complain about that seeding as well, because that's probably the toughest two they would have drawn, mm-hmm. given Michigan State's toughness and a great point guard in Cassius Winston who can control the action. And that is not going to be an easy game. And when you look at the rest of that region, I just don't see any other teams are really going to make a run. So I do think we're going to see that game in Elite Eight, and I think it could be an all-time classic.
There you go. Hey, we'll get you out on this one, Brian. Since you are a bracketologist, we have to ask you officially, what is the okay or acceptable number of brackets one person can fill out?
I say it's one, but, you know, I'd like to have the one true bracket. You know, that's just me, though. Wow. I'm a purist.
I love it. I love it.
That hurts my soul, Brian. I like to do three every year.
See, we got these people doing multiple brackets, and they brag about all the games they got right in their ninth bracket, you know?
This is false. This is
100% That's false. The one thing. You can fill out multiple brackets, but you're not allowed to brag about getting anything right.
There you go. There you go. That's the right answer. We love it. Brian Bennett, great stuff. He's in Portland. You live in Portland, right?
I sure do. I love it here.
Look at that. Beautiful weather
we'll have to,
outside.
Get him back on after maybe the first round.
Yeah, there you go. Great stuff. He's a chief bracketologist, contributing writer for The Athletic, at G. Brian Bennett on Twitter. Give him a follow. Brian, thanks so much, man. Enjoy this great weather and enjoy the start of the tournament.
Yeah, I think I'll be inside all week watching basketball, but it is great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.